Good evening. All right, loved ones, we'll open our Bibles first in Romans chapter 8, please, for a few verses before we ask the Lord to help us with the message. So Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Let's offer the time to the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for your precious word, Lord, that teaches us and guides us and gets right down into our very hearts, Lord. And Lord, we pray that we would be willing to hear what you have to say to us, that we would be yielding, Lord, that we would surrender everything in us, Lord, to learn of you, Lord, and love you more and more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's a very easy thing to suggest that the sinner has no choice in how they behave. They are a victim of circumstance. I'm talking about us all, of course. But we know this is not true. Contrary to some false doctrines out there, there is the reality of free will. Scripture is very clear about this. The doctrines I'm speaking of propose that the sovereignty of God, that is, his total control over everything, precludes any decision making on man's part. We won't bother examining any one particular false teaching. There really isn't any point because there are so many. You can have many versions of untruth, but there is only one version of the truth. The way is narrow because it permits only one version of things. The key to knowing your false doctrines out there is by getting to know the genuine article back to front, being steeped in the Word. If we spend too much of our time focusing on all of the false teachers out there, we can get bogged down very quickly. Knowing the Bible saves you a lot of the trouble, as Brother Huey illustrated in a message not so long ago, that handling the real thing repeatedly will equip you to spot a counterfeit with no trouble. And that's when it comes to money, and the same is true of doctrines. There are many doctrines, of course the doctrine of salvation, election, repentance, etc., but there is only one version, one true version of each. And so if we understand the doctrine of election fully, we won't stumble over this issue of free will, and we can progress to greater revelation. Turn with me now, please, to Romans chapter 9, verses 14 to 18. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, Even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will hardeneth. The scriptures found in Romans 9 very clearly state that God is the one who initiates the relationship between him and fallen man. And it is God who decides to whom he will show mercy. This is consistent with what the Bible elsewhere says about God's sovereignty and man's utter lack of interest in knowing God. We'll look at a few scriptures that declare this very clearly. In Isaiah 46, chapter 10 is our first. Chapter 46, verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times of things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. The Lord's counsel shall stand. Daniel chapter 4, verse 35. and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? Very similar phrasing to that found in Romans 9. What doest thou? Who can say that? And speaking of man's incapacity, Romans chapter 3, verse 11. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. God knows the destiny of every single person he has ever made and will ever make. However, considering God's love of mercy and his own profession in his word that he is no respecter of persons, he is not partial in whom he offered salvation through the death of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Considering this, it is evident that he allows only one creature to contravene his sovereign will. Since it is his will that all men be saved, why is it so that some won't be? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who will have all men to be saved and to come under the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. God gave himself as a ransom for all. No withholding, no partiality, free, abundant grace available to all. Now, it's not partaken of all, however. Man of all God's good creation is permitted to deviate from God's will. The wind and waves obey his will. The heavenly bodies wheel through space at his command. All of nature, great and small, submits to him, but he suffers man to say no. The Lord knows that he is our best hope, the truest good we could ever possibly hope for, the only worthy subject of our affections and worship, and yet he will not infringe upon our free choice, although the alternative for us would be eternity in the lake of fire. God desires all men to be saved. He is not willing that any should perish. That's 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. No doubt this is as earnest a desire as our Lord could possibly have, since he established the means of redemption, the shedding of blood, and simultaneously sacrificed his only Son and died in agony on a cross at Calvary to pay for this redemption personally. There's no clearer evidence than that God wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to be saved equally. All sinners, all equally rebellious. There are scriptures where the choice is made explicit. The consequences of that choice are fully explained, fully disclosed, and the ball is left in man's court. We'll see an example of that in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. This is Joshua speaking to the Israelites. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This was spoken after all of the blessings and curses had been presented to the Israelites in Deuteronomy, so they knew what they were in for when Joshua offered these two choices. Again, free will is acknowledged by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, pertaining to salvation specifically, in John chapter 7, verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. Whosoever will, right? Will, to desire, to literally will it to be so. that God always intended it to be up to us, whether we believe in Jesus Christ or not, to have faith in His Word, there is some confusion and not a little skepticism about God's intentions at the beginning in the garden. But it's obvious that God always intended it to be up to us. Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 to 9. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And then forward to verses 15 to 17. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." This was not a setup, what God had done here in the Garden of Eden. The tree had to be there, and Adam had everything he needed to obey the command not to eat of it. The tree was a reminder to Adam that God had given him free will. He'd given him agency. There was no coercion. The tree was in the midst of the garden. In the center, there it was meant to be a constant, visible sign to Adam and Eve that they had to obey God in order to enjoy close fellowship with Him, and that they always had an alternative to obeying God. Obedience to God, of course, is love. We see that repeatedly in Scripture, and love must be voluntary, just as Christ's love for us was manifest in His volunteering Himself as the propitiation for our sin. And He showed by His obedience that obedience is not impossible. But there is no obedience without free will. By God's sovereignty, as He has called His elect, the ones He has known from before the beginning, the ones He knew would hear His call. And we'll finish in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." Let's pray. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for the truth in Your Word. Lord, the light that it sheds on all topics, Father, of our nature, Lord, and Your nature. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ, Lord, and what He did on the cross for us. And Father, we pray that we never make excuses for our sin, Lord, that we always have a choice, the choice to choose You or to choose death, Lord. And we pray that You help us always to keep You before us in our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.